Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnarled Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Only the Light Moves by Francis A. Doherty focuses on the demanding world of covert airborne reconnaissance during the Vietnam War era, when information could matter as much as firepower. It's framed around the realities of flying into contested airspace to locate targets, monitor enemy movement, and confirm battlefield changes. The book highlights how crews operated under tight constraints of weather, terrain, rules of engagement, and the ever-present threat of ground fire. Rather than presenting reconnaissance as a purely technical specialty, it emphasizes the human factors that shaped mission outcomes, preparation, judgment, coordination, and the constant management of risk. The narrative approach invites readers into the cockpit environment and the planning rooms behind it, showing how reconnaissance tied together intelligence, operations, and strategy. By exploring these missions as lived experiences, the book offers a practical perspective on how wars are observed, interpreted, and acted upon, often through flights that were quiet, brief, and extremely consequential. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, why covert reconnaissance mattered as much as combat sorties. A central theme of the book is that reconnaissance was not a supporting afterthought, but a decisive capability that shaped the pace and direction of operations. In Vietnam, commanders needed timely confirmation of enemy activity, supply movement, and changes to terrain and infrastructure. Covert flights provided that confirmation when ground access was limited and when other intelligence methods were too slow, too imprecise, or too risky to employ routinely. The book emphasizes how the reconnaissance mission sat at the junction of strategy and tactics. It could validate prior reports, reveal new threats, or disprove assumptions that would otherwise drive costly decisions. It also highlights the asymmetry of the job. Crews might fly without the obvious markers of a strike mission, yet they face danger without the immediate catharsis of an attack run. The value was measured in what became possible afterward: better targeting, safer routes for friendly forces, more accurate assessments of enemy capabilities, and a clearer understanding of what was actually happening on the ground. In that sense, the book frames reconnaissance as a discipline of restraint and precision, where success often meant returning with reliable observations and avoiding escalation that could compromise the mission or broader objectives. Secondly, mission planning under constrained terrain. Weather and intelligence gaps, the book underscores that covert reconnaissance was won or lost before takeoff through planning that had to reconcile imperfect information with unforgiving realities. Vietnam presented a complex environment of mountains, jungle canopy, river networks, and rapidly changing weather that could erase visibility and alter flight safety. Mission planners and aircrews had to decide routes, altitudes, timing, and observation priorities while assuming that the picture they had might be incomplete or outdated. This required disciplined preparation and flexible thinking. The narrative focus highlights how crews balance competing pressures, get close enough to see and record meaningful detail, but not so close that the aircraft became an easy target, remain covert, yet still produce actionable intelligence, meet operational deadlines, yet avoid predictable patterns. The book also points to the practical limits of reconnaissance. A mission could be perfectly flown and still return with ambiguous results because of haze, cloud layers, camouflage, or simply the enemy choosing not to move. These constraints force teams to develop habits of methodical observation, careful note-taking, and redundancy, including rechecks and cross-cues with other sources. In describing these factors, the book portrays reconnaissance as an engineering problem, a human judgment problem, and a time management problem all at once. Thirdly, flying low, staying alive, risk management, and threat awareness. Another major topic is the continuous balancing act between exposure and effectiveness during covert flights. The book presents reconnaissance as a style of aviation where threat awareness is constant and where risk management is an active process, not a checklist. Crews had to anticipate small arms fire, heavier anti-aircraft weapons, and the possibility of being tracked or predicted based on prior patterns. The environment punished complacency, a slight deviation in altitude, a momentary fixation on a suspected target, or an overconfident pass could turn a routine observation into a catastrophic event. The book highlights the tactical habits that help keep crews alive: varying routes and timings, using terrain masking when possible, remaining alert to visual and behavioral cues from the ground, and coordinating communications carefully so as not to invite attention. It also explores the psychological component of risk. Covert missions demanded calm, measured decision-making while flying under pressure, often with limited margin for error. The narrative conveys that survival was not simply luck, even though luck mattered. It was the product of training, discipline, teamwork, and a realistic understanding of what could go wrong. In that framing, reconnaissance flying becomes a case study in applied judgment, where every mission is a series of choices made under uncertainty. Fourthly, crew coordination and the human side of intelligence collection. The book emphasizes that airborne reconnaissance was deeply collaborative, relying on effective coordination among pilots, observers, and the broader support network that processed and acted on what was collected. Even with capable aircraft and equipment, missions depended on human attention noticing small anomalies, remembering landmarks, prioritizing what to capture, and communicating findings in a form that others could use. The narrative approach highlights how crew roles complemented each other. One person might focus on aircraft control and safety, while another concentrates on scanning, recording, and evaluating what is being seen. The best outcomes came from shared mental models and concise communication, especially when conditions change quickly. Observations needed to be organized, interpreted, and transmitted in a timely way, often under constraints of classification, operational security, and the pressing tempo of ongoing operations. This human side of intelligence collection includes the emotional load, as well, the tension of flying into danger without the more visible trappings of conventional combat, the responsibility of knowing that a misread could lead to misguided action, and the professionalism required to stay objective. By centering people rather than just platforms, the book shows reconnaissance as an interpersonal craft built on trust and competence. Lastly, from sightings to decisions, how reconnaissance became operational impact. A final topic is the pathway from what a crew observes to what commanders decide, and how easily that pathway can succeed or fail. The book presents reconnaissance as a link in a larger chain collection, reporting, analysis, dissemination, and action. Each step introduces possibilities for delay, distortion, or misunderstanding. A crew might return with clear indications of movement or infrastructure changes, but the value depends on how quickly and accurately those indications are integrated into planning. The narrative stresses the importance of clarity and specificity in reporting. A vague description or a poorly contextualized location can be less useful than a smaller amount of well-framed detail. The book also hints at the tension between certainty and urgency. Decision makers often must act before intelligence is complete, while reconnaissance crews may be aware of ambiguities that do not fit neatly into briefings. In exploring this tension, the book conveys why reconnaissance is not merely about seeing, but about turning observations into shared understanding. It also highlights the iterative nature of the work. One mission generates new questions that require follow-up, and changing enemy behavior forces adaptation. This perspective helps readers see covert reconnaissance not as isolated sorties, but as a persistent effort to reduce uncertainty in a conflict where uncertainty was itself a weapon. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers interested in military aviation, intelligence history, and the operational realities of the Vietnam War, including veterans and families who want a clearer sense of what reconnaissance crews did and why it mattered. It will also appeal to general readers who prefer war history that highlights decision-making, risk, and human performance rather than only large-scale battles. The practical benefit is its focus on how complex outcomes often depend on small teams executing disciplined processes under pressure. Readers can take away transferable lessons about preparation, communication, and judgment when information is incomplete and consequences are high. Compared to many Vietnam War titles that center on ground combat or high-profile air campaigns, this book stands out by exploring the quieter missions that enabled targeting, validated assumptions, and reduced uncertainty. That angle gives it a distinctive value for anyone building a fuller picture of how the war was fought day to day. It is worth buying because it connects the technical and the human, showing reconnaissance as both a specialized craft and a vital contributor to operational effectiveness, making the history feel immediate, specific, and instructive rather than abstract. If you would like to support Francis A. Doherty, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.